On today's episode of Big Time, the podcast, brought to you by, sadly, for the very last time, BJ's Tavern. If you guys haven't already received the news, man, BJ's is shutting down after I don't even know how many years in service. It's a very, very sad day, but we just want to thank them for being our first presenting sponsor here at Big Time. But it is also good news, folks. That means that we are currently a free agent, and you could be the next presenting sponsor of Big Time, the podcast. Just keep that in mind. But back to business on today's episode of Big Time. I'm joined by my former head coach, former UMFK Bengal, and current head coach of the Lewiston boys basketball team, Timmy Farrow, in the building on Big Time. Let's go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another round of this incredible, incredible, incredible show we call Big Time. We've got a very special guest today. Been circling the calendar for this one. This guy's been covered by, let's see, the Boston Globe, Sports Illustrated. Anything else?
Those are the two that... I don't know if I'm the one they covered, but I was in the picture.
Sure. Okay. And now, Big Time, my former head coach, former UMFK legend, current coach of the Lewiston High School boys basketball team, Tim Farrow, on Big Time.
Well, thanks for having me, Tommy.
All right. Are you familiar with the term Big Time, or are you more familiar with it now that you've listened to the podcast?
I'm surprised when I searched for the podcast on Apple that... it was the only Big Time podcast.
Yeah, well, there's a couple other ones, and it's a little bit more dirty. There are some other Big Time podcasts.
No, this is the one that I listen to.
Luckily, this one came up first. So. Let's just get right into it. So, as I mentioned, you were my former high school coach, but what most of these guys might not know, they might know you from the UMFK days, but you actually grew up on the streets of Paris.
West Paris.
West Paris. The west side of Paris.
I'm not sure. Streets, dirt roads, bumpy hills, and... on a farm, you know, old farm. So yeah. I'm not sure how streetwise I am.
And we're talking about Paris, Maine. Right. Yes. Let's clarify that.
West,
right?
And again, West Paris.
West Paris.
Not the big town of Paris.
Right.
It's got, you know, 10,000 people. West Paris, where there's about 1,400.
Where's it at on the map? Just so, because most of our fans are Maine fans.
You know, Oxford County, western foothills of Maine,
yeah.
About an hour and a half from Portland, about 30 minutes south of Bethel on Route 26. The gem. Of the foothills.
What's the local high school?
Oxford Hills High School, the Vikings.
Yeah.
And eight towns that go into it. West Paris is one of the small little ones. Eight small towns form that high school.
So Paris is the metropolis?
Paris and Norway, they're twin cities. They're kind of right there. The high school's really right on the middle, right on the border between the
so
two.
So it's the Fort Kent of the foothills.
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities. It's like if you took all the – what I think that school might be,
yeah.
You know, if they ever do that in the valley, is if they put all those little towns together, something yeah. like that. You know, we had – you know, my bus ride to school every day was 35, 40 minutes.
Oof.
You know, and if I just drove straight, it was, you know, it was 25 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's a lot like the valley in that respect. It's big, a lot of area, not a lot of people.
Right.
So
kind of the – in terms of childhood, the same thing as growing up north, you have to make your own
time. Yeah, very similar. Not as, similar geographically and isolationist. And then, but you got the different culture, you know, not the French thing. Is.
Yeah, so what's the culture in the Oxford, in the foothills?
I think
I've only been there once, so.
We took you there.
Yeah, I think we had a tournament there. That's my
camped
only time.
Out, camped out in the field, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The culture, I mean, it's you know, the biggest, you know, job influx was the manufacturing of homes, modular homes. And I'm like, my dad worked there for all the different places. He worked there for most of his life. There's also, you know, outdoors, if you like the outdoors, like I think a lot of people do in Maine, you have easy access to the foothills, easy access to the lakes. And so, you know, but it's one of the poorest counties in, you know, in the state. And that's saying a lot,
right.
as you know. But you know, people that live there don't live there because of the income. They live there because it is beautiful, and
right.
It's a place that I'm fond of calling home.
And what were you into growing up? Athletics?
Yeah.
Or were you more into the books? Were you?
Yeah, I was not a good student, no. Thomas. No, I mean, I liked learning,
yeah.
But grades wise, no. I liked reading. I liked learning, but as far as getting good grades, never.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love being outdoors. My dad was a Maine guide, and my mom hunts and. So we would hunt and fish and do that sort of stuff. That was, the fall was very busy because my dad's guiding business. So I never did a fall sport really until I got to high school. But you know, basketball was big, and baseball was really my first love. And then also did track too. So
what kind of got you into athletics? Just naturally gravitated towards?
You know, both my parents are competitive, you know, kind of like your folks. But my mom really pushed me, said, hey, let's go try basketball. I was shy. I didn't want to do it. But I got into it. And, you know, that was that. And like I said, baseball, those are the two things.
So when did you watch Hoosiers for the first time?
See, that's a good story. So we had a video store, kind of like the Video Mart, but not as classy.
Yeah, right.
Not as classy.
Yeah.
And this guy down the road had a video store. Somebody had mentioned, I was probably 9 or 10, one of our family members had mentioned this movie Hoosiers. We rented it, right? Yeah. About basketball. Watched it, you know, returned it. A couple weeks later, we go back, rent it again. A couple weeks later, go back and rent it again. A couple weeks later, go back and rent. Finally, after, I mean, it was probably a dozen times, he just said, hey, you can keep this. So that was...
How old were you when first time you watched it?
Probably 10 or 11 years old.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I was 14 or 15, this is the geekiness of me. But I put that on, you know, certain scenes in the movie, and then I'd go out and shoot hoops in my yard in the middle of the summer. That was my...
Jimmy Chitwood.
I don't think... I was probably more like some of the other guys on the team than Jimmy, but that was definitely... I think I made you guys watch that movie at least once.
I think we did, like a team bonding. Yeah. We watched
you guys Hoosiers. Let's watch Coach Carter or Above the Rim.
Above the Rim, yeah.
No, we're watching Hoosiers.
Yeah, it was a good movie, though.
I still show that. I showed it in my class today.
So. Do you teach it in
I teach a coaching class. I somehow blend it in, but yeah, coaching class at Lewiston High School. So yeah. We're still teaching those kids, and guarantee that none of them have seen this movie. So
right.
It's one of my... It is probably my favorite. I still love that movie.
You think it's better than Above the Rim still, or?
I still think. I mean, I think if Tupac, you know, Norman Dale, I don't know, Gene Hackman, right. Maybe, I don't know.
So did that kind of maybe give you more basketball fever? Is that what?
Well,
kinda...
I think that tied into in 1988. I went to my first high school basketball game. I'd have been 9 years old. Oxford Hills was hosting Sanford in the prelim. They were the 8 seed, and Sanford was the 9 seed. The first time that Oxford Hills had made the playoffs. In a long time, and so my folks took me to that, and I'd never been, I'd seen stuff on TV, but that was the first game. Ended up being an overtime game. They ended up losing, but they made a comeback in regulations. I think they're down like 15 in the fourth quarter, and this point guard Teddy Quinn, who you know, first time I'd seen him play, you know, just unbelievable game to get them back in the game. And he was a junior. He had a sophomore named Danny Ladd that was on that team, and basically the core of the team was coming back. And the following year, they had enough. We went to more games. So I got a stamp on my hand every night. It said Vikings, right? I was proud of that.
Yeah.
Kind of like you growing up before Kent. And I just remember my dad saying, watching Teddy Quinn play, that is how you're supposed to play basketball. I mean, this guy is diving on the floor. He's up in his man's face on defense. You know, he's passing the ball. He's doing everything that. You know, I like to think that I did as a basketball player. That was like the model. That's the guy. And so that turned me on to basketball.
You remember your first auditorium visit?
First auditorium visit. Boy, who would I have seen? You know, I'll tell you this. My first auditorium experience, being in West Paris, we were up on a hill. We had 3 channels, and we put an antenna up. I climbed up on the roof, and I repositioned it so I could get tournament Saturday. I don't know if you remember this, but when Class A used to do a separate tournament.
Yeah, it'd be the week after.
It'd be the week after, right? So Saturday from 8 in the morning until like 10 at night was all these teams. And I didn't know any of those teams, but we put it on. And I'm like, what is this place?
Yeah.
It's auditorium.
It
was auditorium.
Yeah.
And that would have been when I was probably middle school, you know, seeing it. As far as going to a game would have been probably when I was in college. I'm trying to think who we would have seen first. I just know, you know, when I was coaching with Eric.
Yeah,
and the women's team, going and seeing Bracey Barker play for MDI.
Yeah,
and somebody had a sign out said that the last person off the island, you know, turn out the light, because
right.
Everybody was there, and the place, their band was amazing, and the place was insane. I felt as you know, you got lifted off the ground when you're there. You were in it was like a religious experience.
Which is the better atmosphere for a high school playoff game?
Well, I mean, Civic Center, it's not even close.
Yeah.
Not even close. Yeah, the Civic Center is really atmosphere is terrible. It wasn't designed for basketball.
Right.
You know, that was, it was, and you ran on top of each other. Yeah. I don't think they make stadiums like that anymore for some reason.
Right. Nice thing about Bangor too is like Eastern Maine, we have a ton of like Class C, Class D, like a lot of small schools. And then all those towns travel so well.
They do. I mean, I think that's why the Class C tournament is has always been so important, because you've got down east schools, you've got Aroostook County, you've got Washington County, and those people just are coming down. You know? Yeah. They want to see their town. And you've got people like you that are down maybe in southern Maine or other parts of Maine, I'm going to go watch the team play, you know, so.
Tradition.
Just tradition.
Yeah, that was like my favorite part of February vacation, was just sitting there watching games on PBS and just watching people like, see people like Darius Parker.
Yeah.
And East Grand.
Oh, he was good. Yeah. He was good.
So I definitely miss those days. All right, it's time to get to our first segment of the show. Still looking for sponsorship for Ethan Asked. Somebody, please step up. Ethan needs some money. Ethan, what's your question for Tim today?
Back once again with Ethan Asked Big Time Questions. Season 2. Timmy Ferrer or Ferrar? Fuck, man. Honestly, I don't think I've ever really known how to pronounce it correct, so definitely not going to be able to figure it out now. Tom, give me a little background. I didn't realize you grew up in Paris, Maine. I actually spent quite a bit of time driving through Paris, Maine. I was living in Lewiston at the time. And I had a project up in Berlin, New Hampshire, so I headed west up through Paris, up towards Rumford, and actually, you're going to want to swing through Bethel. If you hit the Big Adventure Center, you've gone too far. You're on 26, you're going to want to swing around, head up on Route 2, and shoot you straight up the White Mountains. It's beautiful up there. It's God's country. So, for those of us who haven't been up that way, what was it like growing up in the mean streets of Paris, up in western Maine? Were there any powerhouse teams back in the day when you were there? Were there any star players that came out of that region? Kind of paint a picture for us. What was it like coming up playing basketball in western Maine?
Well, the best player in Oxford County was Andy Bedard. Mm-hmm. He was at Mountain Valley. You know, the best teams, you know, Mountain Valley teams are unbelievable. They combined the two schools. It used to be Rumford in Mexico.
Yeah.
And in 1990, I think it was 90, they combined. And so the team, Mark Carter was a coach, he took over, had a returning starting 10. So both starting fives came together, and they didn't have a close game all year. They were that good. And then I think Andy was 2 years later, and he was the best player. So that was for the count for Oxford County, which is, again, not known for its basketball. Yeah. That was the best team, best player that I saw. We had some good ones at Oxford Hills, but not as good as Andy.
Yeah. There you go. Great question, Ethan. Sounded like you had some Bill Plourde in your voice for that question, too. How about when you got to high school? You would have been graduating class of what?
97.
So yep. What was your high school career like?
Not very good, Thomas.
Can we get the scouting report on Tim Ferrer?
We can jump ahead real quick. It was disappointment in that we were 9-9 my junior year.
Yeah.
Missed the playoffs by a point and a half. Felt like we were good enough. We beat 3 playoff teams during the year, but that was back when it was 50%.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were, again,
were you Class A?
We were Class A.
So you were playing
Portland? We were KVAC, so we didn't. We were playing an Eastern Maine, predominantly Eastern Maine schedule.
Yeah.
But we would be in the tournament with those Western Maine teams. Oh. So it was, you know, it's kind of odd. But, you know, we were right there. We lost a lot of close games. Lost like 3 games in overtime that year. Yeah. And you think, you know, kid hit a shot at the buzzer at home against us that just needed one win. And it was a good team, and we had a lot of good players. I don't know that we had a great player, and I think it clouded the water for like who to play.
You were missing Kyrie, like the Celtics.
We didn't have Tatum. We didn't have Horford. But a lot of good players on that in that group.
Yeah.
And I, like I said, I think sometimes maybe we get to your group. You have too many guys. You know, you can't have too many guys. Right. So
did you play for the legendary Scott Graham?
I did not. He left. He was at Madomic Valley, and I'm proud to say we were 3-1 against him. Definitely my my proudest moment as a high school player was at their place. We were down one. It was game second or third. Yeah, second game of the year, because the game before I blew it. I missed a shot at the buzzer, like a tip-in that would have won it at Mount Ararat. And then the next game we go to Madomic, and we're down one with a minute to go. And my teammate Miguel Gonzalez turned to point guard, and my man was on the wing, and I just cheated and stole the ball and laid it up in at the buzzer type of thing to win a game. And that was against Coach Graffam, Scott Graffam.
Did you play anything else in high school? Soccer, I'm
guessing. Yeah, I did soccer a little bit. I was terrible at soccer in high school. Terrible touch. We were just okay. And then track, I was decent at track.
So you didn't play baseball?
No, we get baseball in Oxford Hills. The sport is baseball.
Really?
Yeah. Every town had at least one or two youth teams.
Yeah.
And so, you're talking about having a huge influx. There's guys that get signed in the minors every year, and that sort of mentality and talent level. And I was okay, but I wasn't as good as those guys. I started doing track, and I'm like, this is fun, and it's co-ed, so I liked running. I always liked running, and so that what I got to run the mile.
What was your event?
Mile and the 800. Those are my two favorite ones.
What was your best run times for the mile?
4:41 for the mile.
Wow.
The 8, it was I think 2:05. So not just okay, but the mile, was pretty good. I thought I got each year to the finals in states, and then I got my doors blown off by the guys that could really run. Yeah. They're 20 seconds faster than me.
That's crazy.
I got to watch them as they crossed.
That hurts my head just thinking about it, because I'm getting ready for my annual PT test right now, and I ran a mile as hard as I could today, and I was at 5:40, which is, I think, my fastest time ever.
That's impressive.
Yeah?
That's impressive. I think that's great.
I'm not a track guy, so I don't know.
I think that's – how old are you?
I'm 31.
That's good.
Okay.
You got a family, you got a wife, right?
Yeah, you're
right. Got a full-time job.
Yeah, I'm doing this on the side.
I mean, what's Joey running on that now?
He can still do it. So he's still playing. He just got done playing in the spring.
I saw the highlights.
He was on Facebook. Yeah, my mom was Facebook live. So he's still doing it.
He still got his girl posting his stuff online. That's good.
Were you going to any of the basketball camps when you were either coming up? Or
yeah, we went to hoop camp, which is in Casco.
I want to get to hoop camp a little bit later on. So we won't dive into too much right now.
And then the two camps that I really – and hoop camp was great, but two camps I went to that – it was different back then. AAU was not a thing.
Yeah.
Personal trainers. My parents didn't have money for that. And that didn't exist. It didn't exist. So, the big thing was going to summer camp. And I remember one of my great grandmothers giving us money to do that, because that was beyond, the normal budget for us. And we went down to SMTC now.
Yeah.
With where Gold Star was, and that was run by Rick Simons, Mike McDevitt, and John Dank, and they ran that for geez forever, and that was a huge camp for me, because it really it set the bar for what competitive excellence was for me, what that meant. And another camp that was run by the former USM coach, I can't remember his last name is Sakaitis. He ran this camp. It was a one-on-one camp, and it was a 3-day, really intense, very focused on one-on-one skill, which I think for country kids like myself, you can shoot, you can get up in the barn, you can get your own barn, you put you got a hoop up, whatever, you can shoot, you go and play summer ball, do that sort of thing, but really focusing on a one-on-one skill is something I feel like, city kids have an advantage, and I went to that camp, and it really honed my skills. I felt like afterwards I felt like a different player.
Yeah.
And I kind of took that stuff.
Mitch go to that camp?
It was similar. Camp. They had a big man camp. They used to do that too. It wasn't the same coach, but same idea. You take – and I think the same thing happened for Mitch when he went to that camp. I think it was a – it simplified things. It gave you a process, and it gave you like an attack mentality.
Yeah, I remember him coming back and just night and day.
Yeah, I almost think that's better in some regards what we do now, where kids play year round. I just think, for me, I'd go there and that would be like intense 3 days.
Yeah.
You kind of come back, catch your breath, and then I'd be in my driveway working on my own. Yeah. And that's kind of how I did it. And every once in a while, I'd get my neighbor. We'd come, he'd show him something, what I learned, and we'd practice it and we'd play against each other. But that was kind of my methodology. And those camps were big for me.
Yeah. What about who were some of the best players you went up against either at those camps or high school? Any names that kind of stick out?
Well, I would say at our high school, we had a run of talent when I was there. The two guys that were, kind of the group ahead of me that were just fantastic, Kyle Peavy, who was a has been out there killing Al Qaeda and saving our lives, basically the Marines. Yeah. And then Jason Briggs, those two guards were just, you know, fantastic. You know, yeah. They both played the game the right way. They played hard. And they've gone on to great things in their own lives now. Jason's the principal up at Winslow, and like I said, Kyle has served our country and is now back home, you know, coaching in the, I think he's at MCI, you know, there. So those two guys, just the way they played the game, and you know, we'd play pickup. We'd have a gym open on a Sunday, or you know, somebody get the gym somewhere. That's the great thing about having these eight little towns. It was somebody had it into one of the elementary schools, and we'd play. And you know, those guys were. They were better than me, and they kind of set the bar for what I wanted to play like.
Yeah,
you know? Then you talk about like the three guys that, you know, outside of Oxford Hills.
Yeah, I'm talking about like guys you just played against.
Well, the guy I didn't play against them, but going back to watching MPBN, you know, the three guys that I got to see play quite a bit. You know, TJ Cowett that played at Winthrop High School, went on to Villanova. Mm-hmm. You know, that was a team that had Kerry Kittles on it. Yeah. And, you know, he played against Tony Gonzalez in the tournament, right, from Cal. He was fantastic. You know, main kid going into the Big East and starting for basically for 4 years. And
I know the name. I've never seen him
play. Yeah, well, he was a year older than me. We play him in AAU, and I remember one of our guys, you know, getting his hand on top of the ball. He's going up for layup. He just went through him and dunked it. Like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, and this is a Class C school, you know, a little school.
Yeah.
The other one is Andy Bedard, who I think it's 49 in the state game, you know, against Camden up in the auditorium. Mm. And he's the best – guard I've ever seen in the state.
Where did you go to school?
I went to Mountain Valley High School.
Another name I know. I just
You wouldn't. You weren't old enough. And you know, he went on to play at BC. Again, BC was good then, and he played quite a bit as a freshman. Played more as a sophomore, and then the coaching change. He came back to UMaine, and if he hadn't gotten hurt his senior year, they probably would have gone to the tournament. They were that good. It was them in Vermont, and he got hurt, and I don't think he could play. And then so they didn't make the tournament. Yeah. Maine would have made the tournament. That would have been the first and
we're still waiting. We're still waiting.
It's coming. Barron's going to lead him, I think. I think it's going to happen. And then the third guy is Bob Davies.
Yeah.
And I know who he is.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bobby, you know, obviously, you know, getting to play with him in college but seeing him at in high school and just how he controlled the game. And he played against TJ in a tournament game and beat him. Yeah. And Mr. Basketball, 1994. Yeah. So
let's talk about the college recruitment process. How many letters were you getting? How many coaches came to visit the farm?
One.
Okay.
Nobody came to the house. You're too far for them. You know, the one guy that, well, two guys, and basically because of one, though. You know, Jimmy Graffam, who was at Westbrook, he coached the guy I mentioned earlier, Teddy Quinn. That was like his first group of guys, Teddy Quinn, Oxford Hills guy. You know, his brother being the coach up at Oxford Hills kind of had a partial thing for us. And we went to his team camp. And, you know, I was kind of my high school coach expected a lot from me. I could be like the whipping boy in a sense that I was the one that I might get my butt reamed out a little bit if I screwed up. And I screwed up enough, so it was definitely going to happen. and I had to get used to that. And so, something about that coach respected. And he, you know, I only started like one game my junior year. I wasn't, I'd score a little bit here and there, but he saw something in me and, you know, just him, he sent me a letter and I was already motivated. That took me to like another level as far as what I thought I could do. Yeah. You know, I really going to college and playing college ball wasn't really on my radar what I thought. I wanted to just keep playing.
Yeah.
If I could have played, you know, in the park or played it, you know, I just loved playing at that time. And yeah, who wouldn't want to keep playing, you know? And so he believed in me, and I was, you know, I wanted to go there, go to Westbrook in Portland, and I watched them play. We went to team camp there. I knew a lot of their guys. I knew how they played, and it was, you know, I was the perfect fit for that, and that was the perfect fit for me. Yeah. And that, you know, my limitations would have been covered up the way they played, and I think that my energy level would have fit in with their style.
Yeah.
But that doesn't, you know, things don't happen. Schools close. UNE buys Westbrook, and Coach Graffam moves north, and thank God he did. You know, things happen for a reason. So he takes the job up in Fort Kent, and I'm thinking, you know, looking at the map, I'd gone up there for a track meet that year, Presque Isle. And my dad said, yeah, it's another hour. I'm like, how is that possible?
Yeah, it's a big stink.
How is that? How is that possible?
Yeah.
So he, you know, he'd kind of, he called me and I worked hoop camp that summer and I had applied at USM and St. Joe's and, you know, I wouldn't have been good enough to play at those places at that time. And, not without, you know, really sticking it out and going the long haul. And, you know, something about, you know, Jimmy, you know, coach saying, you know, maybe you should look into this. And, you know, I remember calling, it was Linda, my mom and I got on the phone. It was Linda Corvo. No, Lisa Fournier, Linda Corvo. And it was Linda, Lena, and Lisa. And I can't remember all their last names. Right. So we're talking admissions. We're talking financial aid. We're talking registrar and something else. Right. So, and I had dealt with USM and it was not like this. Trying to get a hold of somebody and then trying to talk to the other people.
Yeah.
They're saying, yeah, you got to do this and let me transfer you. Hi, this is Linda, right? Hi, this is Lena. Hi, this is Lisa.
Yeah.
They got us through everything we needed to do. And this was in August.
Yeah.
This was in August of that year. I decided in August that we were going to go. Never visited, never really knew anything about. Well, and my mom and I left that phone call saying, those are the nicest people.
Yeah.
And so I was like, wow, how did they get a hold of each other? No, it's so I get up there and they're looking at each other. They're like looking across the hall.
Yeah. First impression of Fort Kent when you rolled in?
Well, we almost got smoked by a moose on the way up Route 11.
This seems to happen.
I'm coming up, my mom and my grandmother behind me. The moose runs out and runs parallel to me.
Yeah.
And I think we were just an hour, we were about a half hour out of Ashland, right before Susie Hill, that big hill, somewhere in the, you know, where there's no humans. And it runs next to me, and then it runs behind me, and I'm like waiting to see my grandmother, my mom get smoked by a moose.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just driving in, and the thing I tell everybody, the elementary school, the high school, the college, there's a church, and there's a burial ground all in the same street. Yeah. You could have it all done. Right there, right?
What more do you want?
What more do you want on Pleasant Street, right? Yeah. So, you know, we drive by it. If we get to the stoplight, right? I guess we should turn around and drive back, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, pull in on a Friday, I think, and, you know, there's nobody there yet. And because we were early, we didn't, you know, my parents and I went to school. My dad went to college for a month. My mom, you know, it was just not something that they did. So this was a foreign experience for them. And I get there and see this is what I needed. I needed to go to a small school.
Yep.
And
I got it.
You know, and people that cared for you and looked out for you. I didn't, you know, have big classes. It was perfect school wise. But first impression is I think this is going to work.
Yeah. Which dorm were you put up in?
The quieter
Crocker.
Yeah.
Remember where your roommate was?
Well, we had he didn't last very long. He lasted like a week and he went home.
Yeah.
And then there was so
too,
no, it wasn't. Most of the basketball guys were over in Powell. That was the crazier nightlife scene. That wasn't for me.
You heard about that.
So and we didn't have that many guys that year either. We were
so what? This would have been what 90
97 fall of 97.
Yeah.
And you know, Graf, I think, you know, was trying to figure stuff out. He was going to stay, and he decided to come back, and he was kind of late in that decision, so he didn't get a lot of guys. I might have been. Well, the guy we did get, other than me, right, was the guy that made us go, and that was Sean Tomlin. But, you know, Sean was the all-time leading scorer, I think, until recently, right?
So he might have been part of the best freshman class ever.
And Davies came in too, which he wasn't a freshman, but he definitely changed things. And
I mean, you and Sean combined over 2,000 points.
A lot of games.
Yeah, a lot of games.
2,000 points.
Yeah.
We probably, if Sean has what, how many does
1,700
Sean have? He's 17.
Something?
It's going to be close.
Maybe 2,000.
We might get there. I assisted him on many of those points, but I cheered for many of them too on the bench.
So who was on your freshman year?
So
team?
So we had him.
Sean was like the first, like, because Graffin kind of got the program going again.
Yeah, he kind of, and
Sean
he's
was
fantastic.
The first piece. Yeah.
That, I think he was going to go to St. Joe's and it fell through the money piece. And, you know, Fort Kent is, you can't find, it's the best value. It's why I went there. It's one of, I mean, there was a money thing too. It's like, this is stupid. I could go there for 1 year, or I could go to there for 4 years.
Yeah.
It's still why it's a great value.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, yeah, Sean, we were in school for a week when Sean showed up. And he showed up a week into school. And, you know, he said like two words to us. His parents got, you know, crossed the border, you know, crossed over the bridge. And they're like, okay, how much further? And he had no idea, right? You got to go 6 more hours. They dropped him off. And 4 years later, they picked him up at graduation. I mean, that's how And, you know, he really blossomed into his own there. And, you know, he's a great teammate.
I was really a little young. Is he as good as I remember? Or was he
He was good. He was good. You know, a couple of things he could do he could outlet the ball. I've never, like, Kevin Love made that pass to LeBron the other night, right? Sean used to do that all the time. Yeah. You know, myself, another guy I played with, Ish Gelpy, would just leak out, just start running.
Yeah.
And if you didn't bust it from this time, he would overthrow you.
Yeah.
You know, you had to bust it. And he got points for us, you know, that 300 number you're playing. I got probably 150 from Sean's outlet passes. And I know Gish got a lot that way too, because he could almost, you know, Graf had him try this one day. He threw the ball off the backboard and turned, and he threw it. And he almost hit the other backboard before his feet hit the ground. You know, he saw Wes Unseld had done that or something, you know, in the 70s. Yeah. And Sean was that strong. And he had explosive. He had sneaky athleticism. You look at him.
He wasn't big, that tall, right?
No, he's
like
6'2", 6'3". Yeah, but, you know, I remember boxing him out one time in practice, and I hit him good. You know, I was really something I took pride in. He took two fingers and put it on my shoulder and just flipped me to the ground.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, so and he could score, and he developed into an outside scorer too. He could hit a three type of thing. In fact, a big shot he hit against Umpy our sophomore year, and the only time they actually played us close, he hit a big three.
Yeah.
And I was like, it was kind of unexpected, but so.
So who else was on the team? Was Ish there?
No, he came in at the end of that year, the second semester, I guess. He came in second semester, but the first semester we had guys that we had Chad Tardy, which there's a guy.
Yeah,
there's a Fort Kent legend.
A couple of
holy
ago,
cow! Can he jump? Can he jump?
I didn't know
could
he played
jump?
College ball.
Played that one semester, two semesters. He played both semesters. Jeff Droulet, another Fort Kent guy.
Wow.
Boy, Lucas Levesque was on that team. This is a guy you should add to your roster. Mallet Corey.
Yeah, Mallet would be great.
Mallet's not a president. He played. He was on the team that year.
He used to dive out of bounds.
He was insane.
Used to go for loose balls like he was catching.
The first time he's in the game, right? We're playing, Central Maine, I think it's who we're playing. Anyways, they scored, right? He was on the floor and he fell to his knees. He's the soccer goalie. If you gave up a goal, it was like your life was going to be over. So it's like, well, Malik, they're going to score more often, right? It's like, they're going to be like 100 points tonight. You're going to die here if you keep doing that.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, he was a good teammate. Like I said, Sean was on that team. Boy, I know I'm leaving guys out, but those are the guys I can remember. And we just had James Osborne. There's one. Geez, I got to remember James. James was the East Millinocket, the Medway Rocket. We called him. He could play. He's a great teammate too. So that was the group that first semester.
Yeah.
And then Bobby was eligible, made us different. Ish came in. He could play. He made us different. And then and Chris Angelosante, who was another Old Orchard guy, real good friend of Bobby, came in, good athlete, good teammate. So we really kind of changed that second semester how we were. So
and it got better from there, right? When did Drazen come into the
He picture? Came in that year, wasn't eligible the next year. Yeah, so we go when Graf left, but he basically the team when Coach Johnson came in, he basically inherited Graf's team.
Yeah.
And Drazen was amazing. Drazen shot 90% from the foul line, 50% from the field, and 48% from the 3-point line.
He was doing 50-40-90 before.
Before everybody knew what that was. So when anybody says a 180 shooter, I'm thinking, I played with a guy like that. And he was just.
Past first point guard, right? Like a pure.
He ran the show. He was the general. Yeah. He was the general. And he told you what to do. That first year, you had him, Bobby, and Ish. You couldn't ask for a better backcourt.
Yeah.
You throw Sean in there. And then another guy we picked up the year before that became eligible was Jason Bray, who's 6'7", 6'8", that would bang with anybody.
Yeah.
And you had myself and Thomas Tolvisha and Chris Miller's younger brother, Timmy.
Yeah.
You know, three of us. That was our bench. Yeah. You know, we had those. So we had eight guys.
When did Dennis Trapp come
in? Dennis came in that year and then was eligible to play the next year.
So you guys just kept adding pieces.
Yeah, Derek brought him in. He brought in a couple other guys. And, you know, the next year, that's when you talked about being in the newspaper and stuff. We were in the Boston Globe. We were in.
That was your sophomore year?
No, that was my junior. The next year, we were ranked nationally.
Yeah.
We went NAIA that year.
Yeah.
But we weren't in the conference yet. And, you know, Derek, the great Coach Johnson, did a great job of promoting us, getting us out there. We were nationally ranked the whole year.
Yeah.
We got to, we got as high as the 24th.
Yeah.
Right. We had a big game in Hudson the end of that year. We didn't win it. But we, after that, we're still in the top 30. So yeah. Top, you know, we were the top two at large bids, got to go to the national tournament.
Just missed out.
Well, we, it's a political thing. And I don't know that we were actually that good, yeah. But rankings wise, we were there all year. And then, when I got my first coaching experience was with the Wisdom Pioneers. Mm. We had a playoff game against against Katahdin. Mm. And then you talked to Chad in his episode, and we lost that game. And Derek, Coach Johnson, sitting across the way from me, and I'm helping with the team, and I give him a thumbs up, thumbs down. He got in the call that day, thumbs down. We didn't make nationals, so my basketball season ended that day at the Bangor Tournament, coaching and playing.
That's
so,
a rough day.
It was a punch in the gut. Yeah. So
most of our fans, our younger fans, they might know Bob Ryan from ESPN.
Yeah, yeah, he came up.
Horn. And he came and shot it. Was he there for you or was it for the team?
Yeah, okay. I got a quote. I don't think he was there for me. He was there. We had guys from all over.
Yeah.
At that time, we had guys from England, from Yugoslavia.
Was Stafford on that team?
Yeah, he was a freshman.
And was there a guy named Phone or?
Yeah, Pond. Yeah, Pepe. Oh boy, I'm butchering his name. I apologize.
I'm trying to picture the picture. Pekerstad.
He could play.
Yeah.
And Bob called him the greatest Laotian player ever. He was from Laos.
Yeah.
He grew up in, I believe, in Lowell, Mass, but his family was from Laos, which is southeast, for, you know, near Vietnam, Southeast Asia.
Rob Miller, too, right?
Rob Miller was the best dunker that I was there.
Yeah.
He'd dunk on guys.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
You know, Mo Young could dunk, but Rob Miller dunked on people.
He would go through you.
And Drazen could throw the pass to him.
Yeah.
And so Robert, he had a couple dunks.
Are we missing anybody from that team, or is that pretty much? Yeah, great that year.
We were really good that year. I'm trying to. Marcus Sutton Hebert was really good.
Yeah,
he could really defend.
Yeah. He was from Toronto.
Right? Yeah. He was a good soccer player too. You mentioned Dennis. I mentioned Thomas.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm going to leave somebody off. I think that's it.
Was that the year you had the greatest white guy dunk I've ever seen?
No, that was my next year. That was next year. Okay. And I think I'm hoping you had. Didn't Bobby Thompson have a better dunk than that?
No. I remember your dunk. You had the greatest white guy dunk in a game.
So we only lost.
On the far end.
Yeah. We only lost. Now, granted, my sophomore year, we played like two home games. Yeah. But we only lost twice in Sean and I 4 years at home. And we lost our first game against CMCC. And we lost to MCI. And MCI came up. And that was back when they had, you know, that was right after Caron Butler was there.
Yeah.
You know, they had all these guys that would go
DeMar
in there.
DeMar Johnson.
So they had that level of guy. Robert Parrish Jr. was on that team.
Wasn't Kobe's cousin or something
on
that team?
So Trevon Bryant. So Trevon Bryant's on that team, right? Yeah. So he plays against us, and this is a dude. And he ends up going, because the way that worked, he passed his SATs, whatever it was, and he signed with Missouri. And I'm watching Big Monday, and he started for 4 years at Missouri after that. So he played us the month earlier, right?
Yeah.
Anyways, I happened to get a steal and nobody was with me and I got a dunk. But everybody on that team that year, except for I think one guy, Tyrone, couldn't dunk. So when we were doing layup lines in practice, everybody could dunk. Now, unfortunately, you got to ask Eric this. When Eric measured the rims years later, I think they're at 9'10".
Yeah,
so that extra 2 inches really helped my game.
It made a difference.
And I don't know why that I would never have allowed that to be changed.
Yeah, they're up to 10 feet now.
Yeah, so which is probably, it's not good. But everybody used to say that when they come up, I can get off the floor. And a floor you can, it's a great floor, but that 2 inches definitely helped.
It made
my
a huge
game.
Difference.
Yeah.
So your senior year team had a bunch of characters. I kind of feel like your playing career kind of mimics Steve Kerr's in the fact that you go from playing, like Kerr went from a great Bulls team to a legendary Spurs team to playing for the Jailblazers in Portland. And I feel like,
well, I don't, I mean,
I
we had
like your teams kind of, you had a lot of characters. We'll just,
we, I mean, and we went from having somebody like Bobby and then Drazen.
Yeah.
And then Drazen the next year. And then we didn't really have that guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially at the ball end, we had freshman point guards. And those guys, they did their best. And I think it was, again, maybe an example of too many.
Yeah.
You know, too many mouths to feed. And I've had
talented guys, though. I mean,
yeah. Like I said, we had 12 guys that could all play.
Yeah.
And we had, you know, all conference level player in Sean. And that year we went into the MAC. And that was – No offense to what we played before. We're not playing Hudson and St. Joe's and
Chias
and Thomas and Farmington, all these teams, and you know, there it's different. It wasn't what we were playing before. And we went and played, you know, bigger tournaments down, you know, in Boston, and we played Bates that year, and we played our level of competition went up.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, we also played some tough ones, the Bengal Classic. We had this team came in from they were NAIA Division I. They're called Five Towns, and they're from Long Island.
Oh, I remember those guys.
They had this
guy
named Ernest Holmes. And Ernest Holmes, we saw him play the first day. I don't know, they played Northern Maine. He dropped 65. Something 69, something crazy, yeah. Right? And we're all looking around like, who is this guy? Ernest, why does he always go left? And so you get up close to him, and he had nothing for fingers above his first knuckle.
Yeah.
Like his whole right hand had a thumb, and like kind of like everything else was a stub. And we're like, oh, we'll shut him down. We held him to 49 the next day. And we're, you know,
I actually remember that tournament.
I mean, he had 120 points in two games. Yeah. Something stupid like that.
I'm guessing he got all tournaments.
He got all tournaments. We ended up winning the game. Sean hit a foul shot with 0.4 seconds to go, and we stole a win.
Those were some great Bengal tip-offs, too. Like, even after you got done, like, that's when Fisher came in, and like Carmine Charles and Tony Jefferson and all these guys.
When they joined, and they ended up playing the same league, they were always fun when they came to town.
Yeah, they were great. For sure. So, what was the most memorable college game you had? Is your dunk your most memorable college
game? Probably most memorable moment. You know, I had a couple moments in that game that I felt like I played well in that game. I had a couple games, you know, I was a freshman, I had 6 threes in a game, but, you know, I was. Sean scoring 1,000 points, that meant something to me because I was the one that made the pass to him. Yeah. I made sure he got the ball, and you know, he was good. But you know, it was the games were fun. The travel was fun then. I'm not sure I would say it was fun now. It's way too far. But we, you know, I just love playing college basketball.
And you guys had a great home environment too. Like
we had some moments. You know, that Umpy, you're talking about Bob Ryan when he came up. We played Umpy that week, and just that really built up the atmosphere, and the place was packed.
Yep.
You know,
you guys used to dim the lights for starting.
We had that thing. Yeah, Graf and had kind of made that our thing. Yeah. You know, we
Benny the Bengal running around Eric calling play by play and old game tapes and stuff like that.
So
college was good though. You enjoyed your playing experience.
Yeah, and then I played soccer too, which added to it. You know, the last couple of years.
Same thing. Like you played with some of the best teams probably we've seen.
Well, I don't. I think I was right before that.
Were you in some of those early? Yeah, you were on some of those.
So, I was in teams that were. I was able to. We won the Potato Barrel the first year I played.
Yeah.
First time it had been won in 10 years. Yeah. So that would have been 99, I think.
Yeah.
And we didn't even. I didn't even. I'm like, what is this? It showed up. We played Umpy. It was our fourth game, and we won the Potato Barrel. I'm like, what's this? So, yeah. You know, you held it up. We're driving around town.
Yeah.
I had no idea. My roommate scored the winning goal.
Who was your roommate?
Papatim Canal from Nepal.
Nice.
My best man and one of my best friends. And he, you know, it was a big moment for us. And then we lost it. We were also the last team to lose it.
Oh,
so you look at that night in 2000, we lost it. And then the next year we won it.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. The 3 years I played, we were 2-3 in that game. And I haven't lost it since, to my knowledge.
Yeah.
So I was on the last team to lose it.
Yeah.
Well, I hope not.
Yeah.
It shouldn't.
Yeah. So when you were wrapping up school, was the plan always to go into coaching?
Yeah, I love coaching. I was my junior year, I had the college schedule, as you know, is totally different. In high school, you have all that free time, and I was able to adjust my schedule. I was bored. I have a girlfriend and have a job. I hooked on with Scotty Richardson at Wisdom.
Yep.
And coached there.
You coached Chad?
I was there. I don't know if I coached Chad. Okay. Coach Chad might not be the easiest person to coach. No, fantastic player and teammate. But, I was there those 2 years, his junior and senior year.
When they were good.
They were very good. Yeah. I was very lucky to have that, like those guys. That was a great group of guys.
So you got to go down to the auditorium as a coach?
Yeah, they won. Who did they beat? Bengal Christian.
On a buzzer.
And then I don't think it was a buzzer beater. It was a tight game. Jesse Levesque had the game of his life. He was a monster. Craig Misha was good in that game, and Chad and Ryan were good too. And Matt was back. That was it. Matt Burgoyne was fantastic. And the next, they ended up playing Katahdin the next round and gave Katahdin the best game of the tournament they had. They ended up going to the state game. And if we could hit our foul shots, we would have won that game. They were that good. Chad was special. Definitely for the Valley and statewide.
Yeah.
And then the next year, coaching too, and they again had a good year, and losing to Southern Aroostook in the prelim.
But, yeah. How about, because I know you as much as I know you for UMFK Athletics, I also know you for your little clique you had up there, you, Eric, Harv.
Yeah.
When did that whole thing form?
Crowley.
And then, you know, we had Jeff later on.
We just coaching geeks, you know, and we would, that was kind of our, you know, we you know, we played video games like everybody else, I guess, but we did other things that college guys do, but we also were sports geeks. Yeah. I mean, and one of those guys rented a house, and that was kind of like the place everybody hung out. And yeah, you'd go and you'd watch somebody, you got a satellite dish so we could watch more basketball or soccer or football or golf, whatever it was, yeah, you know. So, yeah, that was our group. And
did you guys have a name? Did you guys call yourself?
I don't think we had a name.
No?
I don't think
who was the leader of the group?
Leader of the group?
Who's the alpha? Got to be Harvey.
Harvey's tough to you're going to have to listen to Harv. I mean, that's the godfather. I think he was the godfather. That's what Graf nicknamed him, and that kind of stuck. That name kind of stuck to him. He was, but we would, you know, it was great, and we all got into coaching. We all coached at the middle school for Murph,
yeah,
you know, in those groups, and then we got into that way, and then we'd, you know, we were doing stuff in the college, and then, you know, when the high school stuff opened up, we were, hey, let's try this. This looks like fun, right? And so that kind of happened. Jameson got hired as a track coach. I got hired as the basketball coach. Eric had done different things there. So, and of course, Harvey's the godfather. So,
Were you ever on the radio show that
we had?
Were you part of the show?
Wait, are you the one listener?
Okay. I remember it. I could only pick up the station if I was like 100.
We didn't have I don't think you could have got your house, right?
No. I could only listen to it if I was like at the elementary school or the high school. It was the only place I could figure it out.
We had a loyal listener, you know, support group of two people, yeah, right? Yeah, we got up and we get up at 6 in the morning.
What was the show called?
I had a coach and. Coaching Crowley or something like that, and I was like the third wheel. I was a regular guest. Yeah. You know, I wouldn't. It was, you know, again, you know, that's the nice thing about that place. And I know you had buddies that from away. It's like you better make your own fun. And, yeah, and like, look at what you're doing now. It's just fun. Yeah. We just played stuff and said stupid things and did what, you know. We were on the radio, four people listened to us.
Yeah.
You know, high school kids might listen to us at school. It was like, you know, it's just stupid. There's, again, three radio stations you can get, right? Yeah. So 92, we happened to be the fourth one.
Was it 92.3 or something like that?
I think so, yeah.
Just all kinds of great radio personalities. You had you guys, Jason Bray had a
yeah,
show.
Yeah, yeah, he loved
Ryan.
It.
Hawaiian Ryan had a show.
The Quiet Storm. We had a great time.
Oh, man. So then you went into coaching.
Yeah.
And you just happened to luck out, and your first gig was just this incredible job at Fort Kent Community High School.
Well, again, wisdom for 2 years.
Well, head coaching.
I went and did a year with the UMFK women. Yeah. That was a great experience. Came home for a year and, you know, was trying to get a teaching job and just, you know, struck out after strikeout, strikeout. I don't know why they didn't want me, right? And so I, you know, the Fort Kent High School job opened, and I said, well, I'm going to apply for it. And Graf had called me up, and, you know, he was back there, and Coach Graf and said, hey, you know, you should look into this. And then I called, and I drove. Did I drive up for the interview? I forget how that worked. I, you know, back then, driving 6 hours wasn't a big deal. So I think I drove up, did the interview, and, you know, I get called, you know, a week later. Paul Michaud offered me the job. I said, yeah, give me the weekend to think about it. And I'm like, what am I talking about? I called back 5 minutes, literally 5 minutes yeah. later. And, you know, your group, you know, one of my jobs in college was a work study. I got the gym work study job, which is
the greatest job in the world.
The yeah. fact I got paid for that, you know, and could study and work out and go to the gym. And you guys were always in there,
yeah.
you know, and one of my jobs was kicking you guys out type of thing. And that, I don't think I ever did, but, you know, that group, I remember you guys as, you know, seventh and eighth graders when I was playing, always being in the gym yeah. and just always being in the gym. And remember you and Matthew and Carson and Derek and Mitch and whoever else was in that group, you know, just always being in the gym.
Sam tagging along.
Well, I don't remember Sam really doing anything. no, I mean, but that's why I said, geez, I would love to coach a group like that.
Yeah.
And so when that job opened up, I said, yeah, I'm going to go for it. And, as luck would have it, the phys ed job opened up too. Kind of fell into that literally a week before school started.
Perfect situation.
Yeah, I didn't know how to teach phys ed, but you know, didn't know how to teach anything. But I got the job, made it work, and yeah, no question about it.
Yeah.
No question about it.
So what kind of team did you inherit?
Well, I like you said, you know this.
special. I know, but you know, I gotta
the people. Well, if they listen to your extensive 3-hour podcast,
I haven't boasted much about my high school team, so I'll let you go ahead.
You haven't put enough stuff out there.
Yeah,
I wish you. If there's only a thing on the line that would you know, you could post the videos.
And, yeah.
But with all sincerity, just you know, like you know this the uniqueness of that group, and it was special. There were two seniors, you know, Ethan and Randy, that came back and came in at the right time. You guys were, 2-16 the year before?
Yeah, terrible.
And it just, I think you played a hard schedule. I think that was part of it. And just, you had young guys that, so I came in with guys, a lot of guys that had played. Coach Graffam had put a summer schedule together, so I got to know the guys that way and really could run a good summer program. And, you know, I knew a lot of you guys from, like I said, being at UMFK. But I didn't know how it all would mesh, and you know, I had an idea of what I hoped it would be. But I remember saying that, you know, when I interviewed, I said, "You know, we're going to make the playoffs." I mean, that's not I had no doubt about it. I had no doubt that we would be a playoff, you know, level team. And you know, I may not say that now, just because I don't like to necessarily use that term, like winning, you know, wins. But yeah. I felt like we were good enough. I felt like guys were competitive enough, and I liked how. There was just the group. Just was a tight group.
And luckily for you, you inherited a 6'7" man child, yeah. Which always helps in high school basketball.
Yeah, well, yeah, he was good. He was. It just so happened that I lived. You know, that was with my landlords too.
We're talking about Mitch Follett. I don't think Mitch has been mentioned very much in the podcast.
Well, but. You know, as no individual player affected the trajectory of my coaching career, maybe as much as him.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, individual player, maybe your brother.
Yeah,
and that's no slight against you, Tom, because you were an excellent player as well. But you know, that year coming in and just you couldn't ask the bar. You guys set the bar as a group of what I expect for competitiveness, team culture, attitude. You know, just that whole thing. And every practice was competitive and fun, and you know it was special. And, yeah. And I still look back at that. I don't try to look back too much on things, but that's one thing I look back on for sure. If I could create that culture.
Yeah. And like what we liked about you was that you had a college background, so you kind of ran like college type practices.
Yeah, I definitely did, and I don't know if that was good or bad, but I was wondering about that for you guys, what it was like. I mean, I wasn't a great player, but you knew I played,
yeah.
And I could still play a little bit back then.
You played with a ton of great guys, so right. You know everything was competitive, and yeah. Just the way you structured your practices and stuff like that, it was yeah. You know nothing that we were used to or accustomed to from previously. So.
I like keeping score.
Yeah.
And that was something, everything had a score to it, everything had time to it, and everything had a consequence. We're going to run or do push-ups or,
yeah.
You know, we're going to compete. And you guys did.
Yeah.
You know.
So that first year, what, 7-11?
7-11, yep.
Made
a prelim, yeah. And the reason that happened really was we had, that summer, right, like I met with Mr. Michaud, and he said, right, you only played like 16 games. That's right. You were 14-2. You were 2-14 the year before. You only played 16 games.
Oh,
they didn't play the full 18. I said, "Why aren't we doing this?" And he said, "Well, gave me an answer, and I wasn't satisfied with it." I said, "Well, what if I can get us games?" "Yep, you can do it." I said, "But you can't travel. It has to be up here." I said,
yeah.
"All right." So I come in the next day. I said, "Well, I got us two games on this date," and I got Hyde to come up. The fact we beat Hyde in one of those games that Friday night was the best. I think we went 80 to like 72. Or we just played perfect game.
They were good. Richie Ortega and Thomas Brad.
Yeah, they were good.
They were good.
And they had bust legs, and we beat them. And
yeah.
That probably in the Herman game that year, obviously beating them.
That was special.
There's a lot of good games. That I won't say second. I won't rank them. But that one
sticks out though, because that was a Martin Luther King day. It was a snow day. It was on a Monday. So like the crowd was empty. We didn't have much of a crowd.
They beat us by 40 at their place.
Yeah. And they were number either like 2 or 3
they
in class.
Won. They won at one point. Yeah.
And
we beat them.
Yeah.
We beat them.
Yeah.
That was the like a 50-point turnaround from game one to game two. And
Randy Willett had the greatest block that I've ever seen. I've got that on tape. You guys will be seeing that soon. So. that was
big. We ended up having to go to Marinacook and play in the prelim, and they beat us.
They were good, though.
You know, the next year, you guys entered that offseason. I remember you guys got you to play in the men's league.
Mm-hmm.
at UMFK. Got you.
Yeah, we actually had a high school team.
It was awesome.
We won our first game. We played against Chad. I remember we played against Chad Gervais and his team, and like no one showed up for him. So Chad went off, and we beat him. And I just remember Chad being pissed. Good time.
I don't know that you won another game every time.
No, we didn't. That was it.
That was the point of it, to be honest, make you guys a little tougher.
Yeah, but I mean, I remember like used to bring in college guys. I remember one time Bartis came in. Bartis and Trey Gonza, they came in and scrimmaged against us, and that's who we were practicing against.
That was when I took the job. That was definitely one of the strengths. Every place has strengths and weaknesses, and you know we're never going to be able to play an AAU circuit with you guys, but we could walk across the street like college guys. So those guys are pretty good.
And I don't think people are taking up advantage of that.
I don't
either. Like that's what Seth was going against like Tyrone Burns and Matt Dottier and just playing one on one for hours after school, and then I got to work out with guys like Andrew Clavette and Matt Alacon. These guys looked out for me.
I totally agree. And you guys were like that. You guys were gym rats. You were seeing it. You were playing it. Like I said, that's what made – there's a lot of things that came together, pieces, and that was definitely a big part of that.
Yep. So senior year – or my senior year, your second year in the job, memorable season.
Yeah, we had a habit of losing the first game of the year by 1 point. We did that 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
And then the next the next time we lost was 11 games later. Yeah. We won 11 straight. That was a pretty special year.
A couple memorable games in there, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Going down to Herman, I'm sure that's probably one of your favorite moments.
I didn't even talk about that at all.
You should have. You didn't bring that up when you were on, and I was surprised because that was, I just remember that play. The ball went up the left wing. We were down two, and not every team would do this, but they looked inside for Mitch. Swung the ball around and you stepped into a three right in front of our bench and we hit it and ran off the court and went home. And it was a great feeling. It had to be. But it was a great team play. It wasn't just, I remember that one. Getting chills thinking about that game. That was a fun game.
Yeah. And actually, I think the best game from that year, the best game I've ever been a part of, was probably one of the worst games I ever played, was Prescott at home.
Yeah,
I actually just went back and watched that recently.
Don't do that to yourself. I mean, other than the ending.
Yeah.
Like you said, the Herman game the year before, but that game, it was right after Christmas. I'm not sure why we scheduled that game then, but, the way we came back, we should have, I really felt like the year before we actually played better.
Yeah.
And I thought we should have beat them. I remember Mitch had a three that would have put us up one with like 30 seconds to go, and he missed it. Yeah. And I felt like that goes in, we beat him. I thought we outplayed him, or I thought we were better than them that year. The next year, I don't think we were better than them. I don't. I think they were, but we played out of our minds in the second half.
Carlin wasn't playing.
That helped. That definitely helped.
They were good, though.
They were very good.
Yeah.
And those were long at every position. But that was a special game. Pat hitting those threes. And Mitch playing on that ankle.
Yeah.
I mean, that was – that was one of the weirder things as a coach, having him be able to play in that game. He shouldn't have been able to play.
Yeah.
But
he did. The cankles
held up.
Yeah.
I remember not sleeping that night.
Yeah.
That's the team. And then, I've heard people up there talk about in other sports, basketball being one of them, not playing those teams, not playing Prescott, not playing Caribou. And I couldn't be more opposed to that. I think playing those teams is the right thing to do. Are you going to beat them every time? No. Do they have more players and more resources? Absolutely. But if you want to be the best, there's no other team. They are the team to play. And same way with Caribou. You got to play those teams.
Yeah.
I think we
had a winning record versus Caribou, though, right? During that thing,
we never lost to them. That was my first win as a coach, was against Caribou.
Yeah.
And we were down, Mitch's buddy Campbell there, that scored like 20 in the first half. And I think I had you and Pat beat him up, and he shut him out the second half.
Yeah, we haven't really talked about Pat at all. Is this an accurate comparison that Marcus Smart is very, Pat Caron?
It's a very good comp.
Pat Caron is not Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart is Pat Caron.
It's a very good comparison.
Right. And that Prescott game is a perfect example. Like, if you go back and watch the tape.
Why are we shooting those shots? He makes a three.
Yeah, makes his three.
He gets fouled.
Yeah.
He was tough, too.
Yeah.
And I can't think of another guy that personified the toughness that I want, as any coach would want.
Yeah.
It wasn't the greatest player. He only hit shots when it was big.
Yeah.
Like, I remember he always hit big shots against Madawaska, too. It seemed like, made big plays.
Yeah.
you know, Herman that year.
Up to that point, maybe like 7 turnovers.
Yeah, we might have it, but he'd also he'd make plays.
Yeah.
And he was a great teammate, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, because you knew what you're gonna get every day.
And yeah.
He also had calluses on his hands from working those.
He's a man's man. He worked for a living.
He did. He still does.
He still does.
Still looks like he could play too.
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately ran into Prescott Island in the tournament that year.
Yeah. The tournament that year, Class B, they were good. You know, Camden was loaded.
Erskine Josh
was, that's the thing. Erskine and then of course Doa Foxcroft.
Yeah, those teams too. Yeah,
those three teams were like they had three or four guys on the team that were college level athletes. Yeah. You know, and that we were close, and but we weren't that good.
Yeah.
We were the next rung down, and we could play with those teams. I like to think if I had my knowledge base now as a coach, we might have had a better chance. But
yeah.
That version of Timmy Farrah wasn't getting it done.
To coach ready for it.
I mean, Mitch had the game of his life in that game, and yeah. You guys shot lights out to keep us in it as long as you did. And I think, you know, beating Prescott would have been great. I'm not sure we could have beat Camden or Erskine or any of those guys. They were just
I wanted was to make it to the second round so I could be on PBS.
I know.
That's
right?
All I ever wanted.
Me too. Me too. Finally happened, you know.
Yeah.
It would have been nice.
Yeah.
Win a game on that floor.
Yeah.
But yeah. So and then next year we go C.
Yeah.
So it's like kick in the face.
We just missed it by 1 year.
Yeah, it would have been nice. Yeah. I'm not sure we beat Callis, but it would have been nice.
Nah, still would have been nice though. How many more years we have to work out for?
Two more years after you. Yeah.
So you got Sammy's senior year.
Yeah, and Sammy, you know, we joke about it. He doesn't get a lot of love on this podcast, I noticed, right? But
wait till you hear Joey Bard's episode with Charles hosting that with me.
Even Joey's not nice to him?
No, Charles isn't very nice.
Oh, okay. But, well,
yeah.
It's funny because I got to play college soccer with Charles.
Yeah.
I got to coach you too, and of course I taught Emily, right?
Yeah.
So I had the whole family. But I can't think of a person with a bigger heart than Sam,
yeah.
You know, and we got married, Andrea and I, you know, Sammy came up to the reception and gave us a gift, gave us a big hug and, you know, said congratulations. And, I remember when my folks used to come to the games,
yeah.
Sam would always go up and give my mom a hug and kiss. I always it means so much to her still to this day, you know?
Yeah.
So he gets a lot of it, but man, I haven't had a person that maybe had as big a heart as him and cared about people.
Yeah, he wanted to be here tonight, but it's a big night for him. It's game 6 of the Celtics-Cavs as we're recording this, so he's somewhere isolated by himself getting ready. But
he's good. It's good. We need him.
Yeah. You guys made it to the tournament that year as well, though.
We made it senior year. Yeah, he broke his leg his junior year, so that killed it. It really killed us.
Yeah.
We were like, he was the guy coming back and really struggled that year. But the next year, we basically had everybody back from that team with a few exceptions. And, he played well. And those other guys played well. Corey had a great year. Corey
was
in. Yeah. He had a great year. Matt Harvey was a good player for us. And another great glue guy, Tommy Caron.
Yeah, that's
true. Really made us go.
Have you ever given anybody the green light as much as you gave Sam the green light his senior year?
No, I gave Sammy – Sammy's rule – the only rule I had for Sam, his junior and senior, is he had to be over half court.
Yeah.
If you're over half court and you have the ball, you can shoot it.
Yeah.
Okay?
And he did.
And he did.
Yeah.
And the arc – when he hurt his leg, he started putting that crazy arc on his shot.
Yeah.
And, I mean, on one leg, he had like 6 threes against Madawaska his junior year and shot lights out to beat them. They were much better than us, and Sammy played us to a win. And
yeah.
They won a tournament game that year. They were good.
Yeah.
So now Sammy was good, and then he was I think it he was emblematic of our program at that time. He got to be an All-State player that year. You know.
Yeah, McDonald's All-State.
They beat the West, and he played well in that game. He played really well in that game.
And then he continued on to the next door and went to UFK.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get to another round of Ethan Ennis' big time questions on Big Time. Ethan, what's your question?
He spent quite a bit of time in the Valley, played UMFK ball, went to school there, did the student teacher thing. If I remember correct, you actually ended up teaching at Fort Kent High School. Could be wrong there, but obviously you were a coach as well. What was it about your time in the Valley that might have rubbed off on you? Was it the potato harvest work ethic? Was it the steady access to poutines and the employees? Or what might have had an impact on you? I feel like everybody that comes through there says that it really had a big impact on their life, spending time there. So Is there something that might have shaped you into the person you are, the coach you are today?
Well, the poutine. I like poutine still. I make my own now. You know, the Bouchard family ploys, right? Yeah, you got to go with them. Yeah. And that's definitely on the in the rotation. I mean, my whole life is that. I married a Fort Kent girl.
Yeah.
And I can't think of a better example of that. And the work ethic, yeah, I mean, no question about it. You guys had it. It's something that was ingrained in you. It wasn't always directed towards basketball. Your group was special because of that. But you know, that I really, it's my, I think of it as my second home, you yeah. know, and I still have, I think a lot of fond memories.
You going to buy a vacation home there?
I wouldn't mind, you know, if Eagle Lake or Long Lake, you know, open up the right thing, I'd have to, my teacher's salary, you know.
And now at Lewiston, now you've been at Lewiston for how long?
Just finished my 10th year, about to finish my 10th year.
Yeah. And are you going to be one of those guys who coaches at a school for like 40 years? And
I'm happy
the gym,
enough, yeah.
The gym gets renamed after
well, I don't know about that. You have to win a little bit more, I think. But, yeah, I love doing it.
Yeah.
I love doing it. You know, that little kid that was driving up the hill in Oxford, you know, 30 years ago is still there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still passionate about it. The part I love learning more now. You know, when I was young, I loved playing.
Yeah.
That's kind of, I can't, you know, the playing days are gone, but that learning factor, you know, watching stuff,
yeah.
with going to clinics and just meeting people, that's the part. And then that's the basketball side, but just getting to know people,
yeah.
you know, and you know, seeing you guys, where you're at in your lives, you know, seeing that Stevie's out in California, Steve Rosignol, yeah. Matthew's an engineer, Adam's an engineer, Burke's doing well, you're doing well, you know, Mitch, you know, Seth. Carson.
We haven't talked about Seth at all.
Well, yeah, he's a unique guy. And I don't know, he was unique for Fort Kent. He would be emblematic of maybe what I, more of the kids I work with now at Lewiston. Yeah. But, you know, that you think about that too. All the things I said had to come together. We get this guy.
Yeah, sure.
You know, why in the world was he in Fort Kent, man? Yeah. And he fit in with you guys. I remember, it's a good Seth story. So we climb. That first summer, I get a gig. We're going to camp out and climb Mount Katahdin. We played Fort Fairfield. We went out and hiked the Katahdin on that Saturday, and then we played them on the way back, right? I guess how it worked. And I just remember going to eat in Patton at the breakfast, and Sam and Steve were telling jokes, and we're all laughing. And Seth orders pancakes, French toast, and eggs, right? And he ate all of it. And we're all teasing him. I know you were riding him. Yeah. And you're, you know, city boy. You're not going to be able to do the mountain. You don't know how to handle us. And, you know, go back to Yonkers and all that crap, right? So, and I just remember him as we're going up the A-ball trail. Him leaving us in the dust. He was determined to beat us.
Yeah.
And I didn't. You know, you don't see that in him because he's such a soft-spoken person. And he was, but he's fiercely competitive.
Yeah.
And he was not going to let us beat him. Yeah. You know, he got to the top in his white high tops and saggy sweatpants. Yeah. You know,
he did it though.
He did it. I think he was sponsored by FUBU, but yeah. He made it to the top.
Yeah. So. And then also just to conclude that story, we beat Katahdin that day after climbing.
Well, and that's the thing that when I got done, I was so excited because we played Katahdin after climbing the mountain. We played probably the best I'd seen us play.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's when I thought, okay, we can make the playoffs. We can do this team's got some toughness that I didn't necessarily know we had.
Real quick, just off the top of your head, top five games you coached, and it could be Lewiston and Fort Kent, but
I mean,
it could be games or wins or moments.
You know, beating Herman your junior year was big because we wouldn't have made the tournament.
Yeah. So
that was just huge where we were. It showed how much we gotten better.
Yeah,
and then. Obviously, beating Presque Isle, you know, that was big. That kind of was like a huge thing. I think they've only beaten them once since then.
Yeah.
You know, and but it's still it matters. You know, I know it meant something to me then and you then, and yeah. It means something.
I still
now.
Of that. I still
should be proud of that. You know, they're good, and there's nothing to be ashamed about that. You know, and then like you said, Sam beating Madawaska his junior year, that was big. And then, you know, Lewiston, we've had some big wins. I've been lucky enough to coach some really good players over the 10 years. And, you know, we've been able to make a couple tournament runs a couple of years ago, a deep run. And, And each one of those games, anytime you win a tournament game, it's big.
Yeah.
And we've been lucky enough to win some of those. And I've had some great people there too. And you know, some of those guys are now getting to a point in life like you are, where they're starting their careers and their lives and their families. And that's kind of cool to see. So, you know, those games are big, but those moments going to a guy's wedding, seeing that, you know, you got a kid, seeing that, you know, this guy's met a girl and this guy's got a job, this guy's traveling, this thing. And that's the part that is big time.
This is the first big time of the episode, all right?
There's some jingle, there's something that happens.
Yeah, there's a little dollar sign, a little chain, and we'll put that in there
afterwards. I'm not going to touch Chad Gervais' record.
No, Chad can't touch Chad. Is that your favorite episode, Chad?
Well, it's funny. Yeah, he didn't mention me, which I thought was unfortunate. That was good. I thought the one with Lon was good. I have a lot of respect for Lon.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for this Harvey one. I really think this could be big time, big time.
It is. It's probably, as a journalist, because I consider myself a journalist, I need an award for that one. Yeah. I need something.
Yeah. But I got to listen to one with Legs. That's one I haven't listened to yet. So I got to listen to that one, because Legs must have saw me play as much as anybody and coach as much as anybody up there.
He's been around forever. And he's got his memory is still spot on. He's pretty incredible.
He's an amazing person.
Yeah. Real quickly, too, I want you to build your coaching staff real quick. You got a ride or die game, your coaching staff. So you two assistants and your five.
Five players?
Yeah. You don't got to throw me in there. I'll sit on the bench for this one. But
we're bringing you in for the game winning shot. You're gonna be that guy we bring in for.
Crowley's gonna be.
He's my best friend, and we've coached I don't know how many games together.
Yeah.
So he's definitely there. I've had some great coaches at Lewiston. If we're doing like a Fort Kent thing,
but it could be whoever. It could be all time.
Well, they're the ones who are going to listen to it, right?
Okay, yeah, that's true.
I think your numbers in Lewis are going to bump up huge after the show. But, you know, Eric has been big there for me, you know, as far as if I'm going to have him staff. And Jeff Kinney is somebody that's, you know, a big part of my coaching experience up there. Five players, you know, if we're going to go Fort Kent guys, you know, Mitchell's on the floor for sure.
Yeah. I don't blame you there.
Boy, I mean, after that, you know, we'll build around him and we'll have a good chance. You know, the guy that I'm not sure he'd start. Maybe I should have started him, but you know, Derek.
Yeah,
Derek is probably the funniest guy of you guys, but he also is the coolest. Like he could make plays that
no look passes.
A great rebounder. He was just he just never was scared of making plays.
Yeah.
You know, he would be out there.
We're negotiating with Derek Lowe's people right now to get him on. So.
That might be a two-parter.
Yeah,
because there's a lot of funny guys in the group. I just remember him making Adam laugh, and Adam's laugh would get going there.
Yeah.
But you know, I would like any of you guys. I'm not going to limit it to that. Mitch is on the floor.
Mitch is the only first ballot Hall of Famer.
Mitch is on the floor for sure. Okay, yeah. And then probably got to get Sammy or you out there that can shoot it. And, you know, Seth got to be out there. If we're on defense, Pat, if we need a big shot, you know, it's
Pat made for a big shot, too. Cause,
you know, Carson's got to get out there. Yeah. You know, he could go all day. And, you know, Matt Kinney would be on the coaching staff, too.
There you go. He'd be a great coach.
He was the guy that you'd call, like, hey, can you get everybody to the gym? And then he was Twitter before Twitter, or Instagram. It was Instamatt. Matt, can you do this?
Yeah. And he'd take care of it for you. Time to get to, our last segment, which is sponsored, by the way, Charlito Wonders, brought to you by Rock's Family Diner, our real life sponsor. Charles, what is your question for Tim?
Yo, Tim Farrar, what up, dude? It's Charlito. Y'all, thinking back, we had some great memories on the soccer field. I think we were really the start of a great thing for UMFK soccer, that's for sure. Yeah, I'm just thinking back to your career. You had something slow you down. You had a couple knee injuries slowed you down. But I think really what slowed you down most was probably that head of hair. Man, that was some curly stuff you had going on. Was that like Soul Glow from Coming to America? Or was that straight perm? Did you get that perm on game days? Or what was your secret there, man? Hope all is good, my dude. Peace out.
Charles bringing the heat, as always.
Well, I think he had the same hairstyle. Yeah. It was just jealous. A great teammate, by the way, for sure. Charlie was. So the hair was just, that was, I don't know what the end of my this is my fifth year that I played, you know, soccer at school. I just decided at the end of that basketball season, I was just not going to cut my hair. Yeah. So, you know, you got to do that at least once in your life. And I didn't know it was going to be that long and luxurious.
Did you rock a headband with it?
I had to do it for game day because I'm in practice one day, a curl comes on, hits me in the eye. I can't see. It knocks my contact out. I mean, it was sturdy. It was sturdy, right? Yeah. So I had to do something to protect others.
I think that was your iconic look right there.
Yeah, the knee thing that definitely slowed me down, but definitely the hair. I could it looked like a cape.
Yeah,
I wasn't very good, but that hair, you know.
Great question, Charles. As always,
that's gonna do it. I think for this episode, that was good.
I appreciate it, Tommy. Thanks for coming here.
Yeah, so Big Time Classics. We're gonna get the Prescott game up on the. Do you have any more tapes by any chance?
I gave you all of them. I think you have all of them. I gave put them in a box. Yeah. Either you or Pat. Pat might have them.
Pat might have them.
It's I know Pat.
The Karens.
The Karens.
They watch them every weekend. Watch them.
They were big. They were big. Warrior fans.
Yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely. So thank you to Tim Fair for coming through on Big Time. Make sure you go back and check out all the previous episodes on YouTube and iTunes. That's it for this week's episode. Tune in next week. As always, more greatness coming on Big Time.